FP10. I'm your host, Gabe Carey, along with Bill Thomas, James Cameron Patrick, Swayze Daly, and Simon Says O'Neill. Today, this is a very special episode of Benign with B10 because we're relaunching the entire series with the amazing Benign with B10 Definitive Edition Alpha Collection Redux. That's a mouthful.
That's what she said.
Yes, it's a delicious one.
Today we're going to be talking about unfinished games or poorly polished games and delays and the controversy surrounding those. Recently, The Witcher 3 was delayed for the second or was it second or third time now?
It's the third time.
And some gamers have been upset by this, but others understand that quality takes time. What are you guys' opinions on this?
It's just upsetting when they tell you it's going to come out at a certain date. I understand games seem to take their time, but when they keep changing the date, you start to feel a little bit lied to.
I wish they had kind of waited until like 6 months before they were releasing to actually announce it, instead of continuously delaying it after announcing it way too early.
I feel like go for it, Bill.
All right, I think they were under pressure to kind of like show something off at E3 with all the new fancy console things.
Yeah,
and they kind of got ahead of themselves.
Yeah, I think The
Witcher 2 came out like 4 years ago, so it kind of made sense.
Yeah,
totally. I just feel like it destroys the hype when you have a release date that's really far away because. I don't know, when I watch these press conferences and stuff, and they're like, here's this amazing game, watch it, and then we're all excited, and then they're like, it comes out in, I don't know, 2021. It's like, then you lose all interest, because it's like, okay, well, I'm waiting for the next half of my life. Whereas if they were waited until, you know, say 3 or 4 months away, then you would be immediately hyped, because it's so close. But they do for themselves and shoot themselves in the foot.
I think initially, when they announced The Witcher 3, I think it was supposed to come out later that year. And then it just got pushed back to the beginning of 2013 and then pushed back to the beginning of 2015.
Can I just say something?
Oh, sorry.
I really, at first, when you see a delay, like with Bloodborne as an example, I'm totally happy with that. I don't get disappointed because it's like, oh, that means they're going to put more polish in, take the time necessary to make sure the product is good as they had envisioned it. But when it's three delays... And it's a game like The Witcher 3 that has so much ambition, I start to be concerned that they're delaying just to try and fit in everything they promised and that it's not a broken mess.
You become a bit more cynical, and I think rightly so. Like, I'm always cynical when a game's delayed anyway.
It's the multi-delays for me is when I start to get worried.
So, like, you're quite forgiving the first time. Like, fool me once, fuck you. Fool me twice, fuck you again, that sort of thing. Is that your attitude?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Dad. Yeah,
that's exactly what I mean.
Bill, are you a big fan of The Witcher?
Yeah, it's... I'm not going to lie. It's like my favorite game series of all time.
Okay. Somebody who's never played it, which is sadly true...
It's kind of like Pokemon.
Is it just like Pokemon? Okay, then I'll play it.
It's like...
Should I go out and buy it tomorrow? should I buy it now, Bill?
I haven't played it either.
You really should.
What's so good about it?
I have a question for you.
I want a goddamn glittering review.
Have you played it, Simon?
You're putting me on the spot here.
I've played Witcher 2 for about 5 hours, and it was on a broken Xbox, so that forgive me. But I've been trying to pitch The Witcher 3 to my friend and try and get him hyped, but he just seems to refuse to get hyped. What do you love about the series? No, I know he's a scumbag, actually, but what do you think about the series? Give me...
Some friend.
Make it, sell me it so I can sell it to him.
Do his work.
Well, I mean, it's like a very niche idea. It's a really complex story.
It's like Skyrim with guns.
Yeah, exactly. Only exactly nothing like that. Well, The Witcher 3. I mean, it's completely different than what The Witcher 2 was like. Because The Witcher 2 is like this linear, just like straight RPG. There was no like open world. There wasn't any real exploration. There were some side quests, but it was all just like completely focused on the narrative. And The Witcher 3 is going to like try to combine that with like this open world thing as well. So I don't know.
Witcher
There's so
3, an
much to
open
this
world
game.
thing.
Yeah,
Yeah, I don't
open
know.
world thing.
I don't know. There's too much ambition in this project, and such a like an indie team, it worries me. I say indie, I know they're not like, a Phil Fish indie,
They're an
but it just
independent
concerns
developer.
me.
Well, it's kind of cool too because CD Projekt Red, I mean, their first game was The Witcher, the original.
That's
And
crazy.
then that game was like built on the Aurora engine, which is what Neverwinter Nights was. And then The Witcher 2 came out and like blew The Witcher out of the water. It was crazy ambitious for the time. And then now The Witcher 3 is looking to do the exact same thing again. So even I'm a
Do you
little
think
bit
it
concerned.
can pull it off, Bill? Do you think there's going to be a big disappointment, like with a lot of games that come out lately, like Destiny, for
Well,
example?
I mean, there's no major like AAA publisher behind CD Projekt Red, so I don't think the same thing's going to happen because they have complete control over when they release it and how they release it.
I think
But you think it'll live up to its promises, even if they have to delay it 50 more times?
I
I
don't
think
think they're
that'll
going to
break.
delay it 50 more times, but yeah, I think it has a pretty good chance.
30 max.
Yeah,
At least
30.
30.
Yeah. At least 30. So this kind of leads into another discussion, but this is about how The Witcher's delayed to improve its quality. But then we have games like Assassin's Creed Unity that probably needed a delay because it wasn't polished when it released.
Or
And I
Battlefield
think
4 too.
Destiny was probably one of the least disappointing games in that regard this year, even though I didn't personally like it. I thought it was boring as hell. But it I don't know. It was not broken. That's the thing. When games like the Master Chief Collection, where the matchmaking doesn't work still, I think. And Assassin's Creed
Really?
Unity, yeah, it still doesn't work. It's
That
kind of
can't be true,
ridiculous.
surely. Oh, man.
Yeah,
That
my
can't be
roommate
true.
was spent a half hour trying to get on a match. It wasn't worth it. But
Well, and then you got games like earlier this year, Watch Dogs came out. It was delayed like crazy, and it was still broke when it came out.
Watch Dogs sucked.
that game
I
is
hate to be
bad.
that. I
I
hate to
did.
be
It
that
was
guy.
bad.
A friend of mine was like, "Oh, James, come play my game." No, this is disappointing. I played it. And I was upset. I didn't care about anything. The gameplay was boring. It was just GTA without the fun.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought too when I played it. And the hacking system wasn't enjoyable at
No, it's
all.
like
it's
It
just
was
like real life
tedious.
hacking. You
It
just hold
was.
down a button and everything happens. Come on,
Yeah,
man, it's
well, yes.
realistic.
Even though it was just one button and it was really simplistic, it was still like it felt like work to me. It didn't feel like fun. It didn't feel like a video game.
That game had the
I
worst
hate when that
morality
happens.
system in any game ever. I'll just go ahead and say it.
I didn't make it that
That's
far. I played it for
fair.
3 hours and I was like, nope, I'm gonna play something
No.
fun. I'm gonna play Transistor, is what I was
The
playing at the time.
worst
Oh,
morality
yeah.
system ever has to be like Fallout New Vegas. It still has
I
to
don't
be.
know, man.
It's
Why?
just so stupid. It's like, I saved your entire wasteland. I stole a spoon. People want to kill me. Oh. You know what I mean? Like,
Like
that
that.
seemed the bigger issue.
No, but you
I
have
see.
no control over it in Watch Dogs. It's so frustrating.
Yeah,
Like you, it's
that's like
such a
real life.
work. No, come on. It's like
So.
I can hack into government buildings and do all this horrible stuff, but I bump into a police car and then my morality system goes down. It's like whatever. I hated it. It
We're
was
kind of
so. It
heading
was so.
into a
What?
different topic now, but
True.
the question was more or less like, would you rather a game be delayed like The Witcher 3, or would you rather have these broken experiences like Assassin's Creed that need like a 10 gigabyte update just to fix all the bugs?
I would rather no day one updates and for games to work when they come out. If that takes a delay, then that's what I have to settle for. But the problem is, I would like a bit more foresight with
Yeah, I would
regard
too.
to planning the games. Instead of getting my
Yeah.
hopes up and telling me this game is coming out, like, on the 5th of November, be honest, look into it, account, give yourself the extra few months, and then if it can come out earlier, imagine how excited people would get. Gabe, what, you know,
that's
what's
the
next
thing. Yeah.
Well, think about the next game waiting for. Like, personally, I'm waiting for the Elder Scrolls Online to come out on Xbox One. I haven't played it on PC. I don't know if it's any good or not. I just want to play it on Xbox One. It could be terrible.
I'm not really looking forward
don't
to anything
tell me.
Right now.
I just want to play it, but if they said to me, oh, it's coming out in 2016, and then it's announced that actually it's coming out in summer 2015, I'd get excited, but it would be a bonus. I wouldn't be annoyed about that. Whereas when they say it's coming out early this year and it's still not out, it's like, that's kind of a letdown, and quite frankly, I'm upset, and you broke my trust, and I'm going to go and cry in the corner. Thank you.
But, I mean, to Gabe's question, on behalf of the entire game industry, no. I feel like the delays are better. Come on. I don't think anyone at this point that buys video games wants to buy a game that they can't even play. Battlefield 4 was the most disgusting product ever released in games, in my opinion.
Then why are these publishers continuously pushing out unfinished products? It's getting to the point where it's a little bit ridiculous.
Because they have contracts to talk about.
It has nothing to do with people who buy video games. It has everything to do with the stockholders.
It does,
they want to push out this product, and to the people who are actually playing the games and who are actually just, like, investing money into the company, it looks super good on paper.
Yeah. What I've heard recently, I forgot where I heard this, I think it was from, like, a dev talk or something, is that marketers right now have more control over the time in which the game is released than the programmers do, which is upsetting. Because the marketing team can say, well, this is going to come out on this date, whether the programmers agree with this or not. And then the programmers are like, oh, God, really? Well, we're going to have to push this out incomplete then, because we're not ready.
I feel like this is why indie is growing. A lot of studios, you see people quitting and making indie studios. I wonder why. Correlation, maybe?
Exactly.
Perhaps.
I think everyone – I don't think it's just that. I think there's a – this is a different discussion but for a different day, but the lack of originality in AAA games these days is frustrating – is equally as frustrating.
When it comes to that idea about, you know, marketing people have more say over games, fair enough. There's another industry that's in the same situation. It's the film industry, but that doesn't delay pictures.
You're right.
Because they're used to it. Like, you know, video games in a really short amount of time have become market leading in what they can do. Like, you know, Kiefer Sutherland was saying the exact same thing about it when they, you know, did the Metal Gear Online, you know, they get the Video Game Awards, they did like the promo for Metal Gear Online.
Yeah.
And he spoke about how important the industry was. I mean, arguably he could say he's blowing smoke at people to try and, you know, like create a good impression for a nice occasion, but there seemed real authenticity when he spoke about it. And he's right. It is really moving on, it's doing well, but it's not yet built to handle the real business side of it, because there's sort of two mindsets living in it. Like, the artists aren't business people in the same way that they are in film.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I think it's a little different. I mean, because the film industry has had decades to kind of build up to the place where it is right now. And the video game industry, in comparison, is still pretty young.
Yeah, that's what I said. Sorry, Bill. That's what I said. I said that's what I meant by relatively short amount of time. Like, it's, you know, it's think about how long it took. You know, the films had, you know, over 100 years.
Yeah.
If we're completely honest. Yeah,
more
sorry.
Than that.
Should have made it more clear.
Yeah.
Well, I said over 100 because people always fucking disagree about when it actually started.
Whatever.
It's subjective. Bloody opinions of people.
But is it art?
Well, Is it called Fred Ott's Sneeze or something? Like, arguably the first documentary ever made. Just a man sneezes on camera. Is that art? No, it's a documentary. Is it really?
Are we art?
We are, Gabe. Your father is, anyway.
I'm not.
I think we're art. I think you're art, Gabe.
My dad's name actually is art, so I understand what James' joke was now.
Yep, it took you that long.
Yeah, it took me that long. I thought you were referring to Bill.
No, this is why. This is why me and your parents are so disappointed in you. You know, we go
to
church every Sunday. We talk about this. They're like, how can you solve a problem like Gabe? You just can't. You know, the man's happy to be a failure. You just have to deal with it.
Well, Simon brought up an interesting idea for today's show, and that was to have a little segment dedicated to talking about our history as gamers.
Oh,
so. I'm not gonna go first because I have such horrible anxiety right now. But you can go ahead and without me for now, and I'll come back to me.
Okay. So, Simon, get the ball rolling, please.
Oh, why me? Of
It
course it's me.
was your idea, man.
It was, to
True,
be fair.
true, but okay. Well, I'll just it started when I was like 4, to be honest. My parents bought me a Nintendo, and there's that whole story, the classic story of I have my Nintendo and my Marios and stuff, but I wasn't really hooked. It didn't really last. I played them when I was bored, and that was it. And then in high school, I got really out of it. I just didn't care anymore. There were a few games that grabbed me, like Vice City and Dot Hack, but other than that, that was pretty much it. But then I got social anxiety, and I had to drop out of school because of it. And with like no free time, or only free time actually, I had nothing to do and except deal with anxiety. So I decided to buy a PS3 and a PS2 and just pick up a bunch of games that I always missed or that I heard were cool but I could never play. And I think that's when it actually started. And then from there, it just went out of control where I'm buying games constantly, and now I'm a huge nerd. So, but
That is BC
I think the
mastering.
game that really it really encouraged me to be into this medium was Final Fantasy VII. And everyone knows why that game encourages people to be a gamer, so I don't need to
Right.
repeat it.
Because it hasn't been remade.
It's been ported, though.
Basically, yes.
Simon,
So that's
question.
my story.
What
That's
is a
quite a
Nintendo? For our
A
audience
Nintendo?
members that don't know what Nintendo is.
A Nintendo is an NES, Nintendo Entertainment System, had the
Called a
original
NES.
Mario.
Does Genesis do what Nintendo don't?
I disagree with. No, it doesn't. No. It could never hold up,
But
except with the sound. It had nice music.
on the contrary, I think it still do.
He
You
is
still think
having
it
fun with
do?
I
words.
do.
He is
I
having
does.
fun
I
with
don't know how
words,
to. I never thought on B9 with B10 that we would actually have the
guy.
Sega Genesis versus Super Nintendo debate that has been going on
That should
since,
be
what,
next week's
90? Whoa,
topic. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Next week's topic,
Let's not
console
fight.
wars. Windows
I
98.
agree.
I win.
From the 80s.
Windows
80s consoles only. Oh my
3.0
God.
was my jam, actually.
Something no one's ever said before.
I just
Fair
like the green text.
Who
enough.
doesn't, man?
Me?
James, how
Hello.
did you're an avid gamer. You play the
Well,
Call of Duty.
I've never played Call of Duty.
I haven't either. I played Call of Duty Black Ops on the DS. I was the only one
Ghost
ever
of
to play.
Duty when
I played Call of
called.
Duty like
That is true.
So bad.
I played Call of Duty with a friend of mine and was like, this isn't GoldenEye, what's this?
This
That's pretty
isn't
much
a Nintendo 64. Where's the third prong?
What's with all this extra bit power? What's this? I don't need any of this business.
They
So
need my pixels.
how did you get started in this business of playing Call of Duty?
Well, it
I
all
mean, playing
started a
video
long time
games.
ago. I was just a young girl.
Yeah.
But my uncle Michael, shout out to Uncle Mike. My uncle Michael gave me a
He's
NES.
not listening to this.
And
NES.
a NES is a Nintendo Entertainment System, but in the UK we call it a NES. We don't
System.
call it an NES. So yeah, the NES is what you could call it if you want to be a prick. Anyway, I got one of those and had Super Mario Bros. 3 and I thought, oh, wow, this is cool. And then no one in my family knew how to plug it in because my parents aren't really technologically friendly. And then I figured it out when I was really small at this point. I was like, oh, cool. Played it a bit. And then time went by. I got a Sega Game Gear, which is still probably the
Oh.
best handheld console I've ever had because it was in color like way before that was the done thing.
It
And
actually did do what Nintendo don't.
yeah, it really did.
Stop
It
it.
was it was
Just
it was so
stop.
it was so good. Like I Nintendo don't believe how good that console was. I'm not gonna carry on.
Ah.
Yeah,
No,
so
you
that was
said.
from the start, and then like Simon, I sort of fell out of gaming for a bit. And it was actually playing Super Smash Bros. With friends that got me back into gaming in a huge way because I used to play Melee all the time on the GameCube,
Oh,
and
dang.
then before long it turned into the Wii with Brawl, and then I played Halo, and that was it. As you know, Halo is a big game for me. What I will say is, throughout all the time I was sort of drifting in and out of playing games, I was always playing Pokemon on the handhelds. So that's probably the game that kept me going. Pokemon on the handhelds. I did my first ever all-nighter to Pokemon Yellow. I was like nine or eight, I think it was. But yeah, that was the game that started it all, Pokemon. And I think anyone can agree that that was a pretty important game for a kid.
Can you describe Halo for our audience in six letters?
Halo in six letters?
Yeah. Six no letters? Time to think. No time to think. Go, 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 go! No, Bill, what's your story?
My story? Well, I guess it starts the same as a lot of these people. Like, I got an SNES when I was, like, 3 years old.
What do you mean by these people?
What do you mean by these people?
These people. These these plebs.
Plebs. You could be a pleb.
I did. That happened.
Get out.
Is it because he has an X-bone?
Yes, it is.
I do have an X-bone. I love it.
Console gamers.
Do you know what a pleb is?
Plebeian?
Yeah, what's a plebeian?
What?
Plebeian. What's a plebeian? Go and tell me.
Before you open up about your plebeian.
Before you open up about your beautiful story, tell me what you think a plebeian is.
A commoner.
Well, close enough, I guess. Actually, yeah, it's an old English word for smelly knob.
Huh. It's not really. A person who was a philosopher.
So yeah, so you got a SNES. A SNES.
Yeah, but I didn't really play it that much. Like, my earliest like exposure to games as something I actually enjoyed doing was like the Sim Cities and the Diablos back on my parents' computer. But I never really got into it. I was more like musically inclined as a kid, and it wasn't until I got out of college that I started playing WoW, and WoW kind of like
wow.
Wow. It turned me into a gamer. Like it's the reason why I bought like a high-end gaming PC, and then I discovered Steam because they're giving Portal away, and then
that's a good way to discover Steam.
Thousands of dollars.
That's pretty cool.
What is a high-end PC? Don't you mean a Steam box?
Steam machine. Well, sometimes when I'm playing the Call of Duties, Steam comes out of the computer.
So let me get this straight. You're
Xbox.
You're a PC elitist. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I kind of am, yeah.
Okay.
PC elitist.
PC elitist, not elitist. Elitist, come on.
I don't understand what all this is about.
I don't know what's happening right now.
Got you, British James.
Gaming never got any better than the ZX Spectrum. We all know this to be true.
I like the Odyssey. That's my jam.
I've never played the ZX Spectrum.
Thank you, Bill. At least Bill gets it.
Bill doesn't care about you, Simon.
I know.
Not like I do.
We're like kindred souls, Simon.
I agree. And
Gabe.
Yes.
It's your turn.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to stall. So it all started with Super 3D Noah's Ark.
Are you kidding?
No, it didn't at all.
Oh, it did.
No, I wish it did, because that game is amazing. Just the concept of using the Wolfenstein engine for a Bible game, it blows my mind still. But no, I started with I'm a youngin. I'm a recently hatched chick, and I started with the PlayStation 2, which I hated. I hated the PlayStation 2 because it didn't appeal to me when I was four, or I guess six. I was six at the time when I got it. It didn't appeal to me because I wanted nothing but Nintendo. I wanted to play Kirby on a Game Boy, but I didn't have a Game Boy. So I eventually got a Game Boy because that's what I wanted to begin with. And on the Game Boy, I played Kirby and Nightmare of Dreamland, which is the first game I actually liked that I played. But video games never really, they didn't matter to me that much as a kid. They weren't really huge in my life until about 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, when I got the PlayStation Vita, and I got Uncharted Golden Abyss, which is the worst in the series, but it introduced me to something new that I hadn't really seen in video games, which was a narrative, because in previous games that I played, like Pokemon and Kirby, all these Nintendo games, like, they were great. The gameplay was fantastic and fun, but it didn't really move me in a way that a film could, or a book, or music. And this was the first time I had really ever experienced that. that type of feeling that and I became attached to characters, and I wanted to find other games that were like that. So I started playing. I got a PS3, and I started playing whatever I could that was highly acclaimed and had a story that was decent. And then I wanted to pursue game development. I wanted to go to. I originally wanted to go to film school, and I wanted to make movies because my favorite films would always touch me in a way that would inspire me to make my own content. And then the same thing happened with video games. After playing all these great games, and now I'm going to school to be a game producer. I don't know if that's really what I want to do with my life, but I'll have this business degree, so I'll
What is that?
A lot of people get into, get into the job that they want, or some people actually never even get into the job they want, but they have a great time doing something else along the way. Like, there are so many, it may seem a strange comparison, but like Natalie Portman never wanted to be an actress. There was just something she tried on and then just happened to be quite good at, So you'd be surprised, like, when it comes down to it, if you want to get to a certain place in life, there's no set route. It's always worth remembering that.
So that, I guess, led me to create this wonderful site, and in 2012, which really never came to light until 2013, and now we're rebooting everything this month, so it's going to be a fun process
Oh,
with
yeah. A
these
lot of
guys.
people. It's gonna be fun.
People I love, so
And some
that's
people you
what
don't,
I think
like
that's
me.
what it's more what's more important to me is like the community of people rather than the games themselves sometimes. I really enjoy talking to people who like video games. I usually get along with them.
It seems to be quite as a community, there doesn't seem to be any sub factor. Like when it comes to film and music, there can be a real sense of knowing the right film or knowing the right kind of music, and it sort of alienates a lot of people when it really doesn't want to. Whereas with gaming, like, there's an element of that in every kind of media and every kind of interest, but in gaming it's so open because, I mean, look at what online gaming with other people in matchmaking lobbies and stuff, look at what that has done for community all over the world. And then it launches really well with things like YouTube, which, let's face it, the amount of stuff on YouTube, there's something there for everybody, but the amount of stuff that's video game related, I can't imagine what percentage of YouTube that takes up,
Oh, it's growing too rapidly still.
Exactly. It's one of those medias that, because, as Bill and I said before, it's so young with such untapped potential. But, to quote
I'd tap
Kevin
that
Flynn,
potential.
oh dear, I was going to quote Sean, but what you said was
Welcome
worse.
back.
But yeah, nice idea, Simon. It was nice to talk about this stuff.
That was actually really pleasant. I'm glad we got to get that off of our chest.
Yeah,
I was holding it,
Therapy.
holding it close this
Yeah,
whole time.
it's been there.
I
Like, I'm
didn't
pretty
care about Simon,
congested.
so just
But
say this. I wasn't interested in
I'm glad
Simon.
our new listeners get to hear us ramble on for a while. And I guess now would be a good time to talk about our Game of the Year responses and where that's headed.
Oh yeah.
Last week, I put up a Game of the Year form for people to fill out, like a ballot. And we have different categories. We have several different categories and an overall Game of the Year. And some of these results were actually kind of shocking for me.
Oh.
Some of them. A lot of Nintendo fans must have voted, especially for our overall. But I'll start with our first category, which is action adventure. Right now, the lead is Middle-earth: Shadow of Mordor at oh no, it's not. Never mind. At
Oh.
second, Bayonetta 2 is number one at 26% of our
I voted for
voters.
Shadow of Mordor.
Shadow
Shadow
Same.
of Mordor is following at 18%. So
I don't
it's
even
still
remember what I
close.
voted for it.
I'm not shutting down this poll until the end of the month, so people still have time. These are subject to change, but I just wanted to share some of these stats with you guys. With platformer category, our lead is currently Shovel Knight, at 30%, closely followed by Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze at 27. A shooter is, it's close, but it's Far Cry 4 at 19%. And then Destiny and Call of Duty Advanced Warfare following closely behind.
What? No, Wolfenstein.
That does not deserve that.
I voted for Titanfall.
I did too, actually.
Titanfall, as just as an FPS, Titanfall's the best one I've ever played.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No.
It's not the best one I've ever played, but it's up there for sure. I really
enjoyed
it.
I'd say it's better than Halo. Like, I didn't think it really... It's just an FPS.
Oh, yeah, of course. I think so, too. I'm not... Halo's gameplay... to me is
boring,
a little more shallow than some of the things I've
it's almost like Destiny.
Well,
who said that?
Oh god. No, I didn't really like Destiny that much. I thought gameplay wise it was a little better than Halo, but the characters in the world are just so uninteresting to me that it's far behind like most of these games. Like
I doesn't even deserve
Wolfenstein is on this. I'd put Wolfenstein up there, past Destiny. I think
I was gonna write a very quick piece about Destiny because I wasn't really happy with like a lot of people's opinions, and I may still write it. I don't know yet. But
your
the one thing I wanted to touch on,
wrong.
The one thing I wanted to touch on was like you know Brink, the game that came out on 360. That let's face it, it kind of sucked.
I liked it.
Yeah, you see, I thought it was great. The thing about it, Brink had this amazing world. It had this amazing world, and it just kind of didn't really go into it. But I liked that, because I just imagined so much more, and I really thought it was an interesting world. And Destiny did the same. It gave you so very little, but left so much room for you to think whatever you wanted about it. But anyway, yeah, that's just... perhaps it's a good thing to look at.
I guess it's the designer's job to kind of give this information to the gamers. Like, if you're not creative enough to come up with the story in your head... or that's not really what you want to do.
Yeah,
but should give you something.
No one said that. No one said that about the original Legend of Zelda. Like in the original Legend of Zelda, you were a man in a green costume. That was all the game fucking told you.
I've said that about Zelda plenty of times.
The entirety of Destiny, one of the worst versions of that kind of storytelling I've ever seen. It's awful. They don't even do that well.
Simon, here's what I propose, because we need to get back onto the topic. If I write like an opinion piece on Destiny, will you write
I'll
one
counter.
As well, and we'll collaborate them, and we'll put them in the same thing.
And your editorials can fight.
Yeah, we'll like put boxes of animations in and shit. But
yeah,
we should do that.
Speaking of fighting, the next category is fighting.
Oh my god.
We'll do it, James.
This is my favorite category, I think, because Smash Brothers took number one and two.
I'm not surprised.
Smash Brothers for Wii U is number one at 66%. It's not even close, but it's followed by Smash for 3DS at 16%. And then the next one is Nidhogg at 3%. I think I voted for Nidhogg because I love Nidhogg.
I voted for Smash Bros.
I gotta say, I'm so tired about Smash Bros. Already, and it just came out. Am I bad?
It's quite a
other
simple
than the
game.
Amiibos, which are like cracked to me right now. I have no reason to continue playing.
I just wish people would shut up about it, to be honest. It's not a big deal, this game. What makes it so special? Other characters, what makes it special?
Probably
it's
nothing.
However, there's no actual competitive side to it, in my opinion. Like, there is. It's not actually... There's no depth. It doesn't feel like a real competitive game because there's so little depth to it. And it just... It feels
to me,
so
it's
shallow.
To me, it's just a fun party game. Other people take it, like, way out of
context,
the
problem.
I think.
Yeah, it's a fun party game, but everyone acts like this is the best game that's ever happened, and I'm so tired of hearing about it.
Yeah,
dude, it is. It is, though. Super Smash Bros. For president, Simon. For president.
Bill, I'm leaving.
Yeah, take that, bye. Obama. next is our RPG, speaking of Obama. which completely don't relate, but Dragon Age Inquisition is in the lead at 28%. It's followed by Other. Followed by Other at 14%, which is followed by Persona Q and South Park are tied, both at 13%.
And Infinity didn't get any votes, did it?
Infinity.
Divinity, Original Sin. Of course it did.
Infinity. Infinity. I've never heard of this, but
Divinity. Divinity.
Divinity. Dif Infinity.
Divine divinity.
I know what you're saying. I'm messing.
Okay.
I'm just stalling because I'm trying to find out who wrote Other and what they wrote.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
Okay.
don't worry about that. Don't worry. Don't worry about it, bro.
I'll
Don't
come back
worry.
to it later.
It's all right,
Okay,
bruh.
there you go.
Move on, bruh.
Sports is next. The leading game for sports games is FIFA 15. Followed by Ali Ali, which is what I voted for, I think, or
I don't even
MLB.
know what that is.
It's
Ollie
like
Ollie.
is it Oli Oli? Is that how it's said?
I think it's Ollie Ollie.
Who
Yeah, it's Ali
knows?
Ali. It's a skateboarding game, 2D indie game, kind of like the old Tony Hawk games, but 2D and with less
Okay.
depth, I guess.
I gotcha.
But it looks really interesting. No, I actually voted for MLB 14 The Show because that's the only one I had played of these.
I was in a very similar boat, but I voted for FIFA on the grounds that the game has improved so much more over the last two editions. When it no doubt wins that, I'll be the
What
one
exactly
who
are
writes about
the
it.
improvements?
It
Because
took
I'm
two editions to improve?
No, the game, right, every year they shovel it out like Call of Duty, so it never has time to improve. But this year, the physics of like how the ball moves in the game have improved quite a lot. The referee decisions are better. The players look like themselves, which is always kind of cool. There's a lot of bonus to it, but like the thing that really stands out is the realistic movements of the characters. Like, I was playing it the other day, and you can build your own team in it, an ultimate team. You can get, the players you want if as long as you have the in-game currency to do so. That's really cool. But what really stood out was I have a player called Gareth Bale. He's a Welsh guy who Welsh international who plays for Real Madrid in Spain. And my dad came in and saw him play the game. And he said, this is the game. And I was like, yeah, look. And I said, this is me playing with Gareth Bale. He went, oh my God, he even runs like Gareth Bale. My dad, who doesn't play games, could just notice from that. He runs like Gareth Bale runs. He strikes it the same way Gareth Bale strikes the ball. But like, that's pretty impressive. It's like L.A. Noire when you're just like, oh my God, that's Aaron Statten. I can recognize him. It's just, I mean, yeah, it's kind of, it's a bit of a gimmick. But for the kind of game FIFA is, it definitely helps enrich the in-game environment.
I agree. Actually, that's like one of the main things they need to get right in a sports game since there's so much. So the focus is so much on that. You need to know the players you're playing. They need to feel like the people they are. So that's cool that they finally made that better.
It does help, it really
Yeah.
does. So yeah, when it does eventually win best sports game, FIFA 15, then I will happily write the reason why, because there's so what well, the reasons why, because it is such a good one.
And next up, I was thinking about combining the two genres like they did at the Game Awards, but I think they're just so distinctly different that I couldn't do it. Which is,
Little dig at the Game Awards.
yeah, a little bit. No, I think the Game Awards was actually great. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but I think it was fine this year. It wasn't nearly as horrendous as it was last year.
I loved last year's.
I loved it too for the novelty.
Yeah.
But this category is racing. And the lead, oh God, I think this one is the most distinct of all of them. And that's the Mario Kart 8 is leading at 68%.
Oh.
And Forza Horizon 2 is next. I had trouble deciding on this one. I love racing games, but the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the five different choices besides Other were Forza Horizon 2. Mario Kart 8, The Crew, Trials Fusion, and Drive Club. And Trials was hardly a racing game, so I apologize for that. But I really didn't know what other category to put it in.
Thank you for doing that, because that's the only one I had played, so I voted for it.
Trials is a puzzle game.
Yeah, kind
It's
of.
like a
It is, but
racing puzzle game.
you can race
Yeah.
each other though. No fairness, so there is a
Yeah, but the
competitive
multiplayer
race
is
element.
really bad, I think.
It's just funny. It's just funny. It's like Dive Kick. Was that a fighting game category, Dive Kick? Because if it was, I'd have voted for that. And that's really not a fighting game.
Yeah, but Mario Kart 8 won. I was tied between Forza Horizon 2 and Mario Kart 8, and I ended up voting for Horizon 2, though I loved both of those games. Those are among my favorites this year. Both are in my top five.
I went for Mario Kart 8, actually. That's what I voted for.
Yeah, I'm a lot of people did. 87 people did, actually.
It's just it's the most game-like. It's not really a race in the same way, but it's, you know, it's the most novel in terms of game, basic game appeal, isn't it? So it's always going to be popular.
I
I
honestly
still
can't
think that the
believe 87
original
people voted.
Mario Kart 64 is still better than any racing game that comes out today, in my opinion. I love that game so much.
It's really great. It is. I
Double
think
Dash
their
is better.
time. I'm...
What?
Double Dash is better.
Oh yeah,
no, I agree.
of
I agree
course. I
completely. I just
Double
meant
Dash
that.
is one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, that game
Double
is
Dash is the
wonderful.
game. Everyone who plays a Mario game who's played Double Dash will always compare Double Dash. Like, they always say, well, Double Dash said this. It's always going to happen. It's annoying, but we
I
all
don't
do
know
it.
why
It's
they
like,
didn't continue some of those elements. But
I don't know.
maybe
It's
they'll
because
bring it back eventually. Double
that
Dash
way
2.
people will
You know
buy
what
Double
Mario
Dash
game
again,
they need to
right?
bring back?
Go on. What?
This is like unrelated, but the RPG one.
No.
Super Mario RPG 2, not made by Square because they can't do anything right anymore.
You mean
Please.
Paper
Oh.
Mario?
No.
No,
Like
he mean
Legend
no.
of the Seven Stars.
I know which one you mean.
No,
Yeah.
don't humor him. He's trying to hurt us.
I don't
It's
know.
just
I'm not.
working.
I don't really want to play a Mario RPG, to be honest. But I never
No, but
played
he
the
does.
original. I don't know what it was like. Maybe it was great, but just
They made it like
doesn't
the
sound
rest
like
of.
something I'd want to play. I love Mario platformers. I love the traditional games.
But it was made by
Mario's
Square, so it
like
felt
definitive
really
platform.
fleshed out and stuff. It was cool.
And
Anyways, continue
that's why they're
about
never going to make
racing
another one.
games. Yeah.
But puzzle games are the next category. There weren't that many puzzle games this year. I actually included a game that my friend made, or a group of friends that are have just recently started up a company, and that's Petrichor. I knew this wouldn't get that many votes, but I kind of wanted to throw it in there because I knew that's something I had played recently that I really liked. But Valiant Hearts, The Great War, which I was playing earlier today, I haven't finished it still, and Captain Toad Treasure Tracker are the other ones. Captain Toad is in the lead at 40%. Valiant Hearts is closely following at 26%. And from what I've played of Valiant Hearts, it's great. And from what I've heard of Captain Toad, like, it's one of the best games of this year, which is crazy to think about because I expected nothing. So I'm looking forward to playing that. What do you guys think about these options?
I honestly
I haven't played
couldn't
either
tell
of
you. Yeah,
them.
I couldn't give you more information on that, really, as weird as that sounds.
I don't know. I didn't play him.
I was playing Valiant Hearts earlier, and I was thinking about how clever some of the puzzles were, and I tried playing it earlier this year, and I just couldn't. I couldn't get through it. I'm so dumb with puzzle games, but now I'm just easily getting through it. I don't know how. But something came to me, I guess. I'm all of a sudden pretty decent at puzzle games. I don't know where that came from because I'm usually awful at everything. The
I don't think
next.
I voted for. Oh, I just realized I don't think I voted for Puzzle Game. How stupid am I? I just gave up on the idea of it. I did notice, though, actually, I just double checked. For Action Adventure, I think I was torn between. I did go for Shadow of Mordor, but I was really inclined to go with Metal Gear Solid 5. Like, I put that for best soundtrack, Metal Gear Solid 5, actually, but that's
I
not in
think
there. But yeah.
next year it'll be higher up on the list just because Ground Zeroes was so there was so little content.
A tech demo.
It was a tech demo, but from what I've seen, it looks great. It's just, you know, it's not there's not much to it.
Well, and on the mission where you see Hideo Kojima's face, that's when Hideo Kojima actually put himself in it. It's like I did 10 out of 10, 5 stars. You
Yeah, I didn't
arrogant
actually.
bastard! I love you.
Personally, I didn't play it because I'm awful at stealth, but I did watch someone play completely through it. One of my friends.
Oh.
And
You don't need to be stealthy at all.
Just use the tranquilizer.
It's
That
so
gun is the
easy,
most
though.
overpowered gun in the history of games because you can win
You
entire games
say
with
it's
that gun.
easy, but you've never seen me play a stealth game. I'm awful.
Let's see that. Put it on Twitch.
Yeah, let's
Play Dishonored.
Oh,
Oh,
God.
Dishonored's such a good game.
It
Oh,
is,
that's such
bro.
a
It
I've got such a
is.
boner for that game.
Me too. Right now, actually.
Brilliant.
Let's play Dishonored with boners.
That's dishonor the game by playing it with hard-ons.
Yes.
Rock hard.
That would be an interesting series from B10. We know what the B stands
inch.
For.
That's what B.
But adventure Boda. Is the next. Yeah. The next category is adventure.
Yeah.
And the lead for this category is The Walking Dead Season 2, which
Conformist.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of meh. But closely followed by another Telltale game. The Wolf Among Us and then Broken Age.
Man.
I didn't vote in that one either because I don't really like any of those games.
Voted for Wolf Among Us because it was better than the other Telltale game, but I want to play Broken Age when it comes to PS4.
I haven't honestly don't remember which one I voted for, but it's probably the Wolf
Among
Us.
Oh, gosh darn.
It was probably the Wolf Among Us because I think that was... if it wasn't, I think I made a bad choice, but I haven't played Broken Age yet, so that's why. But I'm really looking forward to its arrival on consoles next year.
Playing point-and-click adventure games on a console.
Hashtag
PC
Dave.
Elitist.
Calm down, Bill.
I'm going to be playing it on Vita, so I'm going to touch everything.
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
Thumbsticks. If you like to grip your games, get a Vita.
Oh, I do.
Get a grip.
Get a grip.
That should be their tagline. PS Vita,
Dave,
get a grip.
Do you just work in a pun warehouse or something?
Yes, actually I do.
I made you them bad jokes.
Really? No, but my whole school is filled with people who make horrible puns all the time. So it's kind
Barbara
of rubbed
Johnson
off on me recently.
Really?
But the next category is survival horror.
I
didn't
think
vote
I
for this one because I didn't play any of these games, but The Evil Within is in the lead.
I voted for Evil Within even though I haven't played it yet. Is that bad? I'm sorry.
Actually voted for Vanishing of Ethan Carter just because it looked like the most interesting of the
games.
That's an adventure game.
Yeah. Oh, is it? It's yeah. It's considered survival horror on Wikipedia, and so that's what I was judging by.
I went.
This
foul.
Is quality.
B10. It's actually adventure, weird fiction, and horror is the three genres it fits in.
We should have a best weird fiction of the year award
next year, along with worst game because I forgot to include that this year.
Oh come on, Destiny!
I was still half voting for a worst game.
Destiny is the worst game this year. That and Escape Dead Island, apparently.
Bloody is.
I thought Watch Dogs was worse than Destiny. That was
Watch Dogs.
That's an opinion.
No, but like Destiny is the worst game, but I still love it. Does that make sense?
That doesn't make it okay. That's not fine. You can't say to your girlfriend, "Look, you're an ugly sack of shit, but I'd still plow you." That's not a good thing. That's not how that works.
I can elaborate, but I didn't want to make
Destiny
this entire episode about how bad Destiny is.
No, bad time.
We've had entire
save it for the right
before, actually. Whenever Patrick's on,
no.
It's so fun, but it's so bad. It's so fun and bad at the same time.
Patrick never has anything good to say about any game unless it has 3D boobs slapping each other or Call of Duty in general. Those are come at me, Patrick. Not that you're listening. You never do.
The next category I think Bill might enjoy is massively multiplayer online role-playing games. That's it. I'm saying the whole title.
Yeah.
And I think he might be happy to know that World of Warcraft Warlords of Draenor is in the lead at 31%.
Seriously.
Represent, man. Represent.
Closely followed by The Elder Scrolls Online.
WildStar.
I have a confession to make. I voted for that even though I haven't played it.
We're all horrible people, minus Bill.
What happened to ethics in video games journalism?
Out the window.
We should never. That's like the worst you can do. But it's just basically going. I was like, I hope it's a good game. I haven't played these other ones. I'll vote for this anyway.
Three of four members of this podcast have done that this year, so that's great.
I feel wonderful inside.
I do too. Evil Within.
#GamerGabe. the best remaster and remake of this year, since we couldn't decide on whether remakes should be considered for overall game of the year, I made it its own category, which is exactly what the Game Awards did. So I took some influence from them. But Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire is in the lead, which I'm happy about because I think it was the most well-done remake of the year, at least.
It was a game worth remaking because of how they did it.
Yeah.
Like, TCA, I understand that the first person really helped, and it's nice to have it, you know, on the most recent generation, but it just feels like they ported it to me.
Yeah. I still don't have it, dude. Come on.
I haven't bought it
yet.
They just need
to give me the PC version already.
PC Master Race. So we can't even play it.
You can totally pirate it legally.
I guess.
Simon.
Yes.
That's taboo.
This is a video games podcast and you're advocating.
No. I said pirate it legally.
How do you do that?
By buying it.
By stealing it from GameStop.
And then paying them all the money. So essentially you didn't pirate it. You just bought it. And that's fine. I endorse that.
Yeah.
It's not your point. Like that's an interesting topic on its own. Like, when you pay for a game, do you pay for the right to play the game, or do you pay for the physical item? Because
if you pay the Pirate Bay?
Well, like if you bought a GTA 5 on like say Xbox One, and then you've downloaded a version that you can use on a PC. Technically, you've already paid for the right to play that game.
But you didn't pay for the right to play the PC version.
Yeah, you're basically. Especially with modern games, you're buying the license to play on that platform.
That's kind of like saying you bought the DVD of a movie and
right.
You're illegally downloading the Blu-ray version.
No, it's not, because I'm not saying that one format games more than the other. Yeah. No, it's like it's more like me saying I bought the vinyl of, you know, like say I bought the vinyl of Electric Ladyland by Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah,
why
years
would you
ago.
Do that? I mean,
now I've got the MP3 download that I got for a torrent. Surely it's the same thing. If anything, it's less quality because the MP3 isn't as good as the vinyl record because it has less frequencies.
Yeah. Well, like with music, I know that's legal because I actually like asked someone about that.
It's not actually completely legal yet. It's not because the European court is still undecided on it.
Well, the European court's something else.
That will change everything, though.
Isn't something else.
But it'll have to comply.
It's
basically,
the most
like the American court would have to comply with the European decision. So that's where it's quite ropey. That's all. It's just like as the business models are changing, I can't see why if you paid like $60 or whatever it is to get GTA 5 on the Xbox One, then play it on the PC, I don't see you harming anyone unless you want to talk about like the origin of who made the PC game. But are they getting any money? You know, really? It's too hard a topic, and it would have to go into another podcast besides this one.
Yes. Anyways,
best soundtrack.
Transistor.
Destiny.
Speaking of MP3s, the lead for this one is Mario Kart 8, which I don't really agree.
I disagree.
This one,
too.
Good soundtrack. Good soundtrack.
A good soundtrack, but best. I don't know. Out of these, I think. There are quite a few contesters. Destiny, Child of Light, Transistor, Mario Kart 8,
yeah.
Shovel Knight, Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, Theater Rhythm, Final Fantasy Curtain Call, and Other. And followed by Mario Kart 8 is Shovel Knight. I think that's a pretty good soundtrack, but Transistor was mine. I bought the actual CD.
Lovely.
I love that soundtrack so much. That kind of made the game for me. At the beginning where they introduced the song with the vocals. I forgot which song that's called, but oh my God, that made the game for me. That sold me on it, even though I'd already bought it. I was glad that I had purchased that game. But what do you guys think about the best soundtrack this year? What was your best soundtrack?
For me, it was Destiny because it was... perfect during the cinematics, definitely. Like, you know, during the cinematic motions, any sequence where you were just watching, the music perfectly accompanied it. And in game, it did have that Halo feel. It just felt right. It felt like it was suited to the environment. It was slightly ambient, but it was very classical. And you don't really get those sort of. It was like a classic Hollywood score. You know, it was. You don't get many things like that really nowadays. it was quite a romantic kind of soundtrack, in my opinion, and that was something that really stood out this year. Even though the soundtrack to the Pokemon games is amazing as well.
Oh yeah, that's my ring. That's my alarm clock tone. Is the intro to Ruby and Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
That's pretty. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've put 50 hours into Alpha Sapphire so far. I bought both, so I'm starting Omega Ruby soon because I hate myself.
That's pretty good. I might buy both this time. I've got Alpha Sapphire.
I normally don't, but these were the first Pokemon games that everyone at my school really got into. I had played my first one was Silver, but everyone at my school was playing, and we were all trading and stuff. And this is the one that I have the most memories of. I actually got it. I'm writing an article about this currently, so you can check that out on b10.com/Gabe, but that's not a real URL. I'm writing about how my parents, when I was eight, they took away my copy of Sapphire because I played it way too much.
And scumbags.
It's getting to the point where if I was the parent of me right now, I would take away my copy of Alpha Sapphire.
Don't say that out loud.
I would, because last week I had finals and I was playing way too much Pokemon when I should have probably been studying.
Okay.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, so I should have taken away from myself, but I didn't, and I had a lot of fun catching these legendaries. There's so many in this game.
There are thousands. It's brilliant.
But the next category is biggest surprise from this, and it's second to last category, so we're getting there.
The penultimate.
Yeah.
Breaking out the terminology, man.
Bayonetta 2.
Biggest surprise, I went for Shadow Mordor.
Okay. I would agree with that one. I expected nothing of Shadow of Mordor. I thought it was just another crummy licensed game, but it was reviewed really highly. I'm not a fan of Western fantasy at all, so I don't usually play games that involve it. But it's really cool to see a newcomer arise. But our winner here was Bayonetta 2. Which I
Why
wasn't
is that a surprise?
As surprised about.
Our current winner.
I wasn't as surprised about Bayonetta 2 as I was about Middle Earth, but it is what it is.
I think everyone who likes Platinum Games expected Bayonetta 2 would be Bayonetta 1, but better.
Well,
so
I don't know.
I'm not sure why it's a surprise.
Have you heard of a little game called The Legend of Korra?
No, I completely ignored that because it sounded stupid.
Well, it's from Platinum Games, so and it's complete garbage.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So they actually made a bad game once?
They did make a bad game. It's mostly because Activision was the publisher.
Oh, there we go. That explains everything.
And I think the game was made in, like, 3 months. So
probably by, like, three guys and a janitor who was the overseer.
Yeah, and they were working on that at the same time as Bayonetta 2. The reviews for both games came out the same week, which was interesting to see one of the best games of the year and one of the worst games of the year come from the same developer. really interesting
kind of
turn of events.
Yeah. They just want to win everything.
Yeah, they won both at the Game Awards. But now Bayonetta 2, I was surprised not that it was a good game, but that it was one of the highest rated games of the year. I didn't expect that. But mostly because most of the other games that came out this year that were supposed to be huge turned out to be really crappy.
Yeah. So,
I know what you mean. Like, I was very surprised by what a phenomenon Bayonetta 2 turned out to be.
Yeah. In comparison to other games this year, if this was any other year, I think Bayonetta 2 would have been, unfortunately, ignored.
I was a bit surprised by Super Smash Bros. On the 3DS. I thought that was going to suck, to be honest. I bought that kind of hoping it would be as good as I wanted it to be. And okay, it wasn't as good as I wanted, but I was really happy with the quality of it overall.
I don't know why I didn't think of to put that on this list, but yeah, I didn't expect that to be any good. And I think I've played the 3DS one a lot more than I have the Wii U one. I'm not really a huge fan of the series, but I got it because all my friends did, mostly, which is why I think a lot of people got Destiny.
I know people who bought the goddamn Xbox One just for Destiny.
I saw the day Destiny came out, I saw a bunch of people like carrying consoles into their dorms, like new consoles. I was like, where are they getting this money? we're supposed to be poor college students. But Yeah, that's. Oh, we're not at the end, are we? No, I thought we were at the end. Okay,
You
there's
hoped we're at the end.
three more.
Bastard.
Three? I give up.
Three more. Yeah, best character is next. The lead is Toad from Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Oh, that
Really?
game's cute.
I'm really happy about that. But followed by Toad is Shovel Knight. Oh no, not Shovel Knight. Other. Other is closely following. I don't know who people voted for, but Shovel Knight is next.
I hit other and I voted for a character in Warlords of Draenor. What?
Is it your
Oh,
character that you made?
no.
Is it Bill Thomas?
Ah,
The
yes.
Conqueror.
The Conqueror.
Who did you guys vote for character of
I
the
don't
year?
even remember.
I can't remember. Part of me thinks I might have put the speaker from Destiny.
You
don't think there
did.
were. I don't think there were really that many interesting characters this year, as opposed to last year, where there were more, a lot more story-driven experiences that had released. But I think I voted for Octodad mostly because I had just
Of course
written
you did.
that. I had just written that collab piece, and it was kind of fresh in my
Oh,
mind.
the collab! That sounds cool!
Yeah, plug for James's collab piece, the funniest character in video games. It's on N4G now. Check it out.
It's our collab piece. We all work on it. That's why
Yeah.
it's nice. Because we'll get
Yeah.
involved. Simon's in on it. You know, it's a
Hey.
beautiful moment. Bill, you weren't in on it, so
No, I weren't.
kind of
Bye,
you know,
Bill. See you later.
kind of awkward,
Is
really.
Bill even a real person?
Don't bother coming back on Monday, is all I'm
If
saying.
he doesn't contribute to collab, is he a real person?
No.
No. But I already knew I
Oh.
wasn't a real person, so this that didn't really, expose anything new.
Fair enough.
True. None of us are
You
real.
know,
We're all
I
characters
generally,
in video games.
yeah, I was gonna say,
Yeah.
I generally chose the speaker, by the way, because even though there's a lot of time for character development, Bill Nye is so, I kind of voted for him as like, I was like, oh, he's the best voiceover or something as well, but. Bill Nye did such a good job of getting so much character development into absolutely no screen
I
time at
keep
all.
thinking you're saying Bill Nye.
Yeah, I am. Bill Nye, the science guy, was wonderful in Destiny. No, Bill Nighy, Nighy,
Yeah.
lovely thespian from the UK. He did a great job with so little screen time and making the speaker feel like an integral part of a game when really there was no story to guide it for many people. He was there. As quite cliched as he was, which I thought worked really well, to be honest, in the game. Anyway, he did a really good job, Bill Nighy, of giving us someone to hold on to and to latch on to in a universe where there was really no strong character because the idea was that we're all small bit parts in the story.
Destiny,
And
no strong character, cliche works well.
yeah, that's the thing. You'd think it sounds what I've said there is very much a
Yeah.
negative thing. But it doesn't detract from the game and what it can offer. It makes you work a bit harder for the pleasure.
Yeah. Bill
There's
Nighy.
minimal pleasure. Minimal
It's one of
pleasure.
those things.
Lovely lesbian from the UK.
That's right. That's right. Because
Oh
obviously, all lesbians are just waiting to be goaded by Gabe. That's right.
my God. That leads us into best acting.
Again, Bill Nighy, cool. Next.
No, the actual lead right now is Matt Stone and Trey Parker from South Park: The Stick of Truth.
Oh, what? It should have been Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I
I
voted
voted
for
for Bill
Peter
Nighy. I
Straffenrakkerix
don't.
for the Darth Maul.
Kiefer Sutherland isn't even on here. I don't know
I
why.
voted for Bill. I voted for Bill
I
Nighy, and
kind
then
of
immediately thought I should have voted for Kiefer Sutherland. But it's like, well, it's too late.
I crowdsourced for this one because I couldn't think of any of the actors that were involved in video games this year. So these were all from the community. So I didn't think of Kiefer Sutherland.
He was
I was
brilliant.
wondering why he
Probably
wasn't in
should
there
have.
too.
Yeah.
To be fair, Gabe, like that first one, Troy Baker, he's in like a billion games every year, so you can just use that every year.
You can, it's true.
True, he won like for three different things or something last
He
year at
also
the
played two
Game
characters in
Awards.
one game at one
Yeah,
point. That was amazing.
he was nominated for three different games. That's what it was. He was in BioShock Infinite. He was Booker. He was Joel in The Last of Us. And he was the Joker in Batman last year.
And it kind of annoys you how many people, like, well, how many roles are taken up by the same people. What about our
But he's
friend Dave
so
Fannoy?
good.
Was he not in anything this year?
Who?
Dave Fannoy.
Not that I know of.
gonna say, you know, he's quite a good
he's
friend.
He's no
to
longer
Ethan.
In The Walking Dead, because spoiler alert, he's dead.
No.
Sad life.
But
and
that's okay, because he's still campaigning to get into the TV show.
Wait, he was in some. James, for fuck's sake, James. He was in Wolf Among Us.
Was it? Oh, yeah, he was, but he.
Come
he
on!
It was a relatively smaller role, I think.
Was Dave Noy in The Wolf Among Us? I didn't play The Wolf Among Us, by the way, guys.
I haven't finished it, so if he plays a bigger role than I thought.
I didn't play it because it's basically a point and click game, and that genre pisses me the fuck off.
Boring. Calm down. Relax.
Annoyed. It pisses me off. It's like, oh, look, there's a fucking thing over here. Let's
don't,
click
don't
on
worry,
it slowly.
Simon.
Or you can suck my dick. That's another option. Suck it. Put it in your mouth and suck it. That's how I feel about it.
Okay.
They're going to use that as a box quote now.
Put it in your mouth and suck it. That's what I think.
V10.com.
V10.
Relaunched. Yeah. More aggressive, more sexual. That's how we do it.
Oh my god.
For overall game of the year, speaking of aggressive and sexual,
I might have put Shadow of Mordor.
Can you guess what I voted for, Gabe?
I'm gonna guess you didn't vote for Super Smash Brothers.
No! Dark Souls 2, come on. Dark Souls 2, of course it is.
Yeah, I voted for Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor. Simon voted for Dark Souls. Bill voted for any game that's on the PC. And Gabe voted for... Gabe, it says here that you voted for Shovel Knight.
No, I didn't.
I'm
Transistor.
Lying, Gabe. No one voted for Shovel Knight as game of the year.
That game is a close 8th for me. 8th place.
Oh, that's sad.
I love Transistor, I'm just kidding.
The lead for this year is Super Smash Brothers. I don't think anything else is going to overtake it. It looks like it's not even close. Mostly because there's so many different games. And most of these are relatively low in vote percentages. Shovel Knight is at 5%. Transistor is at 7%. Child of Light is sadly at 1%. Bayonetta is at 10%. Super Smash Brothers is at 36%.
Oh,
Jesus. That's just the Wii U one.
That's quite high, actually.
I hope no one voted in the 3DS one, because we have enough Smash Brothers.
Well, apparently not. That's not how a vote works, guys.
We have enough Smash Brothers on this list. But
stop having opinions, guys. Enough people feel the same way. Democracy, not really for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a communist.
Everyone has nothing.
Communist at heart. P10.com. The Wolf Among Us at 3%, South Park at 2%, Sunset Overdrive at 3%, Dragon Age Inquisition at 8%, Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor at 5%, Titanfall at 0%, Destiny at 2%.
Where's Dark Souls?
Dark Souls is
what's that?
It's at 7%.
Oh, that's a close. That's really shocking. Oh,
I can't believe you voted that many times for it, Simon. That's unethical.
I had to.
Nine times.
Give it a fighting chance.
He voted 600 times.
I feel like more people voted for best fighting game than overall game of the year.
That's kind of sad.
Why do they care so much about Smash Brothers for Wii U in the fighting genre, but not overall?
That doesn't make sense.
That's a little bizarre to me. But overall game of the year looks to be Super Smash Brothers. Until Simon votes in Dark Souls a few more times.
I just gotta keep mashing that button. I can't stand for this. B10's game of the year cannot be Super Smash Bros. It can't.
I feel like we need to issue an apology if Sutherland isn't on this vote.
We need to issue a few apologies, I think.
No.
Just one.
Just one?
Just keep it Sutherland. Because, yeah, we like him. I mean, yeah, fair enough. He's a bit of a bully in Stand By Me, but, you know, we forgave him. Things have moved on.
He was in Stand By Me, really? Oh, yeah, he was. That's right.
You fucking idiot. What do you mean? He was a bad guy. Anyway. Gabe,
it's been a while. I don't watch movies every day. All
right, watch a film right now. Anyway, Gabe, we obviously have the other two polls that should be coming out soon, right?
Yeah, they'll be out tomorrow. That's when I'm going to start working on a schedule.
It's going to
be a lot of fun.
Plug. Film and music polls will be available on B10 soon. Please vote in those as well.
Yes, tomorrow they will be available, and you can vote for your favorite movies at b10.com/Gabe.
That's not a... Damn it.
It's not a URL.
You just have several jobs. Do at least one of them right. Come
there on. There will be a URL.
You should make the Gabe URL a redirection to whatever is relevant to the podcast.
It goes to so that it Gabe. Work. That's like goes.
Yeah, okay. I could do a URL where it's like b10.com/benign, and that's everything we talk about on this podcast.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, man.
I'll do that. And then when we switch over to a certain other site, we'll do the same thing. And Benign will still continue on. It is not dead.
It is never
being reborn.
Why would we revamp it if we were going to kill it after this episode?
Because we're jerks, that's why.
I don't know. It's a twist, man.
Surgery and then killing him.
It's an M. Night Shyamalan twist.
That's
it's
why
it's an M. Night Shyamalan twist.
You'll find that M. Night Shyamalan is not on the film of the year list, by the way, and I don't want him on there.
Alright, what's on the music list?
Now, here's the thing I want to say about the film and the music one. Film and music are much bigger than games in many ways, especially with yearly releases. So I threw up a few options on there for some genres, but the other key is much more important in this one than it is in the game one. People will have to really put in whatever they want. You know, you'll get Simon, who'll have some math rock band no one's ever heard of. And that they need to be represented too, because I couldn't... If I put on every artist who put out a single or every live band or every album this year, the poll would just be intimidatingly hard to get through.
Like 2,000 pages long?
Yeah, 18,000 pages for best independent bongoist of the year. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things I didn't want to do. So I made it quite fluid. I put on a few that I liked. I put on a few that are very popular. Mostly the ones that are doing well, like having chart success or doing well, and like
the new Aerial Pink.
That as well. But so basically, please, anyone who votes in the polls, use that other button as much as you need to, because there's so many great live acts, so many great bands and songs, and so many great films and film characters and actors who I didn't have time to put on there, but they need to be on it as well.
What if I didn't watch any movies? Can I, like, just...
Please ignore that poll. Do not make the same mistake we all have.
Don't make the same mistake we all made with the games one. None of us played video games this year.
Yep, I don't even have hands. I can't play any game, surely.
We only commented on them.
Yeah. We reviewed games we didn't play. We're all a sham.
Does anyone watch South Park? I don't normally, but I watched the two most recent episodes.
I haven't watched South Park since last year.
About there's a new story arc that's about how video game commentators have become more popular than the games themselves.
Yeah, I saw something about this.
And how sad that is. I can relate so much to how sad it is that the living room is dying.
Here's an example of how sad that is. You know Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah.
That came out. I didn't think, what a game, I've got to play it, like I did with Slender. I thought, oh man, I've got to see what the Achievement Hunter guys thought of this. That was the first, how sad is that? I immediately went to see what game theorist or what somebody else had thought about the game before I even tried it myself. I was like, and not even in a review way of is it worth buying or whatever. It was like, oh man, I want to see them play it. That'd be cool. I felt so bad.
Yeah.
That was a bad start. When Outlast came out, I thought, I'm going to play this game. But I didn't think, I'm going to see what the internet says first.
I'm going to watch Simon play this game for 6 hours.
I wouldn't enjoy that.
Didn't you do a Let's Play Simon?
Yeah, thanks, James. Thanks,
shut
buddy.
Up. Shut up, Simon. I'm kidding. No, Simon Lai will be bringing you a collaborated piece on Destiny, and then we'll do the same one on Dark Souls, because obviously in the Destiny piece, I will be happy and he will be sad. And on Dark Souls 1, he'll be happy and I will be sad. It'll be great.
Could you do Bloodborne, James, and actually play it, and then we'll do a real one? That would be great.
Okay, we shall do that as well. We can do a new thing. It could be called Jim and Jam instead of Yin and Yang. Sim and Jam. That would be the thing.
I'm down.
You heard it here first. Sim and Jam.
Simon says.
Simon says James doesn't.
That needs to be an editorial series.
Simon says.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah, and you gotta spell says... SEZ, like Sonic says.
I think.
Oh my god.
I think I'm going to call that, like, I think that will have to be the thing, Sim and Jam. That's going to be the thing. It's a really tenuous link, but I'm going to keep it. I don't care. I'll work for this reference.
Would you say it's a link between worlds?
No.
No, not at all, to be honest.
A link to the past?
I don't know. I feel like we're both in the present.
Well, we're both in the Commonwealth, so surely there's some sort of, like, regal link there. Surely, you know, like we both believe in the Queen. That's pretty much what unites our country.
So yeah, we have a lot of content coming forward soon. Everybody seems to be pretty active right now, which is good. And this is the conclusion of this podcast, of this reboot. We're ending it now. It's dead. Don't listen.
Bye.
Again.
Bye.
Except. We've got to do Twitter.
Plug. Oh, and you can follow me on Twitter @TheGabeCarry. I'm legally changing my name to that soon, so you can follow me in real life too.
The Gabe Carry.
Yep.
I already follow you.
@TheGabeCarry.
Cool.
That's
Gabe.
Fine.
Do you mind for me?
James is @YourDailyDosage. I think still.
Yeah, it is. Nothing changes.
Bill is.
Billion.com/Bill.
@BillNido. Simon
Bill,
is...
Bill Nihilitis.
What am I?
I'm trying to... Looking it up.
Simon,
using
right
the Google
in the field.
Machine. I can't figure out how to use it. Simon O'Neill is @XElderGoose. I'm going to find Bill.
Thank you.
I think Bill Thomas. Nope, I can only find Bill Nye for some reason. @TheScienceGuy. I'm getting
Bill,
there.
I told you guys earlier that I am Bill Nye, and you guys just won't believe me, and see like
true.
You just find proof.
Yeah, because
I believe
if you don't have an identity on Facebook or on Twitter, then you're not a real person.
Is that your point though? Like Bill here, Bill Nye, pretty much. Yeah, you know, we all went on the. Well, we all had faith that he wasn't Bill Nye, but he used scientific logic and reason to prove otherwise. Guys, we got him.
Bill.
Do
you have a Twitter?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I don't follow you, so I'm going to now.
That's what
it's
it is.
It's @JackieCobra. It's because it's
cool.
It's, oh, God, how do you spell that?
Okay, I'll just type it in here.
B10.
B10.com.
Oh.
Jackie Cobra. JackieCobra. There we
it's
go.
True. And you can follow us on Twitter @b10.com. That's @b10.com. Until next time, b10.com.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Science.